morning, everyone.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have heat this week, so thanks to Carol for making sure that happens. We have a little bit more work to do to make sure it's fully up to snuff, but it's nice to have the heat again. A couple announcements. First, there's going to be a congregational meeting after service next week to elect officers and review the budget, and that'll be right after the service. And a reminder, on the 23rd, we're having our annual Christmas party after service, and next week is the last week to sign up for poinsettias. Anyone else have any other announcements? I guess not. With that, I will turn over to Tom for the service.
I had forgotten it was cold last Sunday, wasn't it?
It was cold.
It was cold for you folks. I'm up here burning calories like, you know, 1,000 calories an hour. So I didn't notice it, but maybe you were chilly. We are in Advent, of course, the time of getting ready. The Christ candle will be lighted on Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock. I hope you'll be here and bring family and friends with you, and we hope to. We've lit the first candle for the first Sunday in Advent. Traditionally, these candles have stood for hope, peace, love, joy. Well, no. Hope, peace, joy, love. In the middle of Advent, we light the rose-colored or pink candle, telling us that in the midst of all of the work of Advent, purple standing for penitence, repentance, hard work, doing God's work to get ready for Christmas, then in the midst of all of that is joy. There's always joy in the midst of God's work. So these are the candles of Advent, and we began last Sunday with the candle of hope, and now the candle of peace. So, dear friends and dear children, beloved of God, let us join together our lives in worship and praise. Let us call one another to worship. Welcome. Today is a time of preparation.
We come seeking to prepare our hearts to receive God's good news.
Get ready. The Lord is bringing to us hope and peace.
How wonderful it is that the Lord is showering us with peace.
Open your hearts and let your spirits be quieted. Be at peace with the Lord.
Lord, prepare our lives and bring us peace. Amen.
And we join together, rising if able, but every voice singing together, hymn number 106, Prepare the Way, O Zion. one voice we bring our prayer of confession. We confess we are not the people you hope us to be, Advent God. The very ones you favor, we too often ignore or ridicule. We are so focused on having more and more, we risk being sent away empty. Forgive us, mighty God, and look with grace upon us. We would live secure in your love. We would be the witnesses of peace. We would seek to do your will, as did Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. And now for a moment, let's bring our personal confession. Amen. And now hear this. In every wilderness, on every road, in every moment, in every life, in every journey, in every heart, we receive the daily bread we need. God's hope, God's mercy, God's peace, God's forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Profess the creed of our belief. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Greet and bless those near you this day.
be still. For any who are anxious about the worries of tomorrow,
God speaks, peace be still.
For any whose lips have been silenced,
God speaks, peace be still.
This morning, we light two candles. The first candle reminds us in a dark and weary world that our hope lies securely in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. The second candle radiates God's perfect peace to calm our restless souls. As we continue our journey, let us be encouraged with hope, comforted with peace, and guided in truth. Lord, our souls long for the peace that only you can provide. We confess that all too often we only add to the discord, separation, and tension around us. Help us to feel your peace in our lives and strive to reflect it more in our witness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we will join our lives together in prayer. There's about a dozen people or so that are listed in the bulletin, some at home and some not, perhaps. I'd like to invite you to choose a name. Choose a name, and then in the silence during our prayer time, to pray by name for that person. If you want to pick more than one, that's okay. And then take your bulletin home and send it to them, write a note, and say, "You were prayed for by us today." And let them know that in this Advent season, they are not forgotten, and that God's presence and peace is with them close by. So let us join together in prayer. Oh God, we lift up our prayers to you this day. You are Creator and Redeemer. In Jesus Christ, you are our Savior and Lord. We give you thanks. We pray for our world and one another. We pray for every heart that is uncertain in this Advent season. We pray that you will lead us to take time to reflect and think about what is most important and what Christ's presence in our lives, in our world, would look like if we were fully committed to you. We pray for people who are worried about their families, their loved ones. We pray for families that are divided by misunderstanding or by hatred or by any division that might be there that would keep them from the unity and the togetherness and the compassion that families all need. We pray for people who might be depressed in these dark winter nights. May the light of Christ illumine every heart. May light and love enter every person whose spirit is low. We pray for people who are absent and apart from us in prisons. We pray that your light and love might enter those high walls into the hearts of those who seek the freedom that Jesus Christ brings. May your love be known in every heart. Now break into our lives once again, O God. We need so desperately the fullness of your presence as we struggle with our lives, with illness or distress. Our worries set us free to serve you. We remember now those who are listed in our bulletin, loved ones of this church, and we pray for them by name in our hearts, and we also pray for our world. Come, Lord Jesus, give us new courage to be your faithful people who trust in your goodness at every turn, in every place. And by your coming, raise us up to share in the joy of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We bring your prayers in Jesus' name. We bring every prayer in Jesus' name. The one who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We join once again to standing if able. The song of Zechariah will be read in scripture before us in a moment. And now we sing that hymn. So we stand singing number 109. Thank you. Be seated and join with your brothers and sisters here this day who bring tithes and offerings. With your presence and lead us into faithful living as we give ourselves to you in these gifts and in our daily living. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Scripture reading.
Peter's coming.
Aha! We're not in a hurry. Advent needs to be slow. The readings today. First, for Micah, a prophet looks forward to a day of peace, giving of peace. And then from Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and his song.
The first reading is from Micah 5, 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel, be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of the brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders.
Zechariah was the uncle of Jesus. He was the father of John the Baptist, John the Baptist being the cousin to Jesus. Both of them, John the Baptist and Jesus, being born nearly at the same time. So John the Baptist's father was filled with the Holy Spirit at all of the marvelous things that were happening in his family. And from Luke, first chapter, we hear. His father, John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The second reading actually is one that's listed for the first Sunday of Advent, but I'm taking it from the first Sunday and putting it into the second Sunday, and it is Luke's vision of the end of the world, the end of human history, the end of all time, and the beginning of eternity. And he writes, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring, tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." The word of the Lord. My prayer before preaching this morning is taken from a beautiful nativity anthem that I found in preparation for this day. It is exquisitely sung, beautiful tune and words. And part of that anthem is our prayer. Pray with me now. Come, Lord Jesus, great Redeemer, light of morning from the east. We will be thy children ever. Dry our tears, all weeping cease. Amen. It's big. It's big. Zechariah talked about it. Day is coming, day of peace. It's going to be big. And angels appeared in the heavens and they sang, "This is big. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace." And then Zechariah gave his words of looking forward to the one who would guide our feet into the way of peace, so that as we walked and traveled, we would walk the road of peace. And in Jesus' ministry, as he prepared his disciples for what was to come, all of the challenges and all of the things that they would be facing after he left this world, he gave them this gift. What was it? What was it he gave them so that they would be able to endure? He said, "Peace I leave with you." It's big. And then, of course, on that first Easter, the disciples were behind closed doors in fear, trembling, didn't know what any of this meant, and Jesus appears to them behind these locked doors. And the first word that he said, the first word of the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ to his disciples, the first word was shalom, peace. And of course, in this Advent Nativity season, our carols and our hymns, so many of them talk about peace, O Holy Night, and hark the herald angels sing. They celebrate, we lift up this deepest yearning that we have for God's peace, and that's so real to us at Christmas. My favorite Christmas carol, written in the midst of the Civil War, dark days, difficult days, a nation torn apart, brother against brother, father against son, death all around. And then a poet gives us those words, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet the sound repeats, peace on earth, goodwill to all. It's big. Peace. Shalom. Our word peace actually doesn't quite cover the fullness of it. It's an appropriate word, but shalom in the Bible is so big. It means more than just the cessation of conflict. That's part of it, but it means so much more than that. Shalom in the Bible is a completeness, harmony. It's all things being brought together in a peaceable kingdom. And so it means peace between brothers and sisters and people. It means peace with nature. It means peace with animals. It means peace with the moon and the stars and all of creation. Shalom means all harmony coming together, everything in heaven and on earth and among us and all everywhere. It filters and flows in every direction. It brings everything into view, the shalom of God. And we have to have peace. We have to have it. It's God's intention. It's God's gift. It's God's blessing. This world yearning for peace. There's so much fractured. So many nations divided. So much conflict. This world can't last like that. This world can't last. It won't last. We've been on this planet now for 200,000 years. That's how long human beings have been inhabiting this planet, this earth that God made. But it can't last. Whether it's a day until the end of the world or whether it's another 1,000 years, we have no idea, but we know that this world as it's constituted, as it's organized, cannot last. In Haiti, children carry guns and gangs roam the streets and chaos is everywhere. This cannot last. In all across of Europe and Asia, there are people on the move. There are people all over the earth. One out of every three of us, one out of every three of us barely makes it through the day for food, for shelter, for water, for security. Barely makes it, and much of the time they don't make it through the day. One out of three of us. This cannot last. All over the world we have nations in conflict, war. We read about this every day. We see it on the news, in our paper. In Sudan, in Ethiopia, in Russia, in Israel, in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Ukraine. We have child sacrifice in unending numbers. We like to think of ourselves as civilized, you know, child sacrifice. Why? That was way long time ago. That's ancient history. People don't do that anymore. Every day, the children of the earth are being sacrificed. This cannot last. This world cannot last. This world created by God cannot go on like this. We need something more than reform. That never will do it. This is beyond human ability to fix. We haven't been able to fix in all of these 200,000 years. And every reform, every human reform that we see is simply a shuffling of the chairs on the deck of a sinking ship. What we need is a new world. What we need is an Advent world, a new world. And that's what Advent is meant to be. It's meant to be a time when we discover again what is the most important thing in my life. What is the most important thing in our lives? So that every person who is hungry is fed, and every person who is sick is attended to, and every person who is lonely is embraced. And every person in pain has that pain shared by loving hearts surrounding them. Advent is to make us stop the frantic living of life as it is, that cannot last, that will not last, and to let God's shalom, God's work in us and in the world, take place. The people of the Eastern Orthodox religion, the other part of the church's body, We're all in the western part, but in the eastern part of the church's existence, people enter the sanctuary, and before they go to a pew for worship, there will be an icon there for them. The icon is a picture of some kind. It's not meant to take the place of God. It's sort of like Presbyterians having a sacrament. A sacrament, when we come to the table, is a place where we meet God, where we meet Christ again. And so the Eastern people have this icon that helps them to have a window into the heart of God. And when they enter the sanctuary, they make the sign of the cross, they say a prayer, and then they kiss the icon. They don't kiss the face. They will kiss the hands. Or perhaps more appropriately, they will kiss the feet of the icon, of the picture. Isn't that appropriate? Reminds us of that story in the New Testament where the woman was behind Jesus and it was a dinner party. And the tears were flowing down her face and falling on the feet of Jesus. And with her hair, she kissed and washed his feet. So they kiss the icon. And one person who was reflecting on this said that it was like removing all of the dirt and all of the soot so that the golden background of the icon could shine through. Something like that happens to us in Advent. The glory of human life around us, the shalom of God. When we do the work of Advent, shines through. We don't see people the way we did. They change. All of a sudden, when we see their eyes, we see the eyes of Christ. They're no longer the same person. So Advent becomes this season of discovery, that it doesn't matter who they are, whether they're tall or short or young or old or abled or disabled or red or black or brown or white, whether they're rich or they're poor, they are God's gift in which we discover in relationship with them our prayers for them, our love for them, symbolically washing, kissing their feet. The shalom, the peace. This is the work of Advent, to discover all of the gifts of shalom that are waiting for us to discover. And shalom happens to us even now, even this Advent. Amen. our closing hymn on the screen. We light the Advent candles. We stand, if able, to sing together. Let us bless each other as we join together in the closing benediction and blessing. On our hearts and in our homes, the blessing of God. In our comings and in our going, the peace of God.
In our lives and in our seeking, the love of God.
At the end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome and bring us home. Amen.